Welcome to the Heyoka Coach Podcast. We're going to go deep, we're going to go heavy on subjects like awareness, energy, awakening to higher states of consciousness, all for the purpose of walking us through our journey from awareness to enlightenment, one moment at a time. You are no longer alone on this journey. I will be with you every step of the way.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, inner practitioner. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I feel pretty good. I just ate dinner. How about you?
Pretty much the same. I just got my family settled down. You know, usually put the little one down right about 7:30, so this is perfect timing.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So, just wanted to talk to you a bit. I'm so honored to have you here. And I mean, those are words, yes, but let me explain a little bit about where those words come from. You know, I had a conversation with Blunted Buddha, and, you know, it's been about 3 years or so. I think I got my dates wrong a little bit with him. Through a pretty big spiritual awakening when I first got to his Arizona here. And, you know, although I've been on Twitter since 2012, I didn't really find spiritual Twitter till about 3 years ago, when right in the middle of an awakening, you know, really going through some changes. And I found sort of stumbling into spiritual Twitter, and you were definitely one of the first names that caught my attention. I just wanted to say that he helped me through a couple of hiccups, not only back then, but, you know, some patterns that I get locked in, you know, and I see the way you write, and it goes deep into the pattern language that I know. So it really speaks to me. So I wanted to tell you that it's, you know, when I say I'm honored, it comes from that place, that, you know, the healing that I feel from you and the way you put yourself out there, it's really appreciated. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and thank you for having me here, Michael. A lot of these tweets that just comes, I don't know why they come. They just pop into my head, and I just usually just fix their English, make sure they're smooth, and I tweet it. And somehow that a lot of people, they come back to me, they say I help them and stuff. Yeah. But that's, I don't really know what happened, to be honest with you. Just whatever tweets that comes to me, and I just tweet it. Like a job.
Like a job.
$0 job.
Sometimes thankless too, but I say that in jest, but what I'm finding is it's far from thankless. I mean, I've only been doing this a short period of time, and just the people that, you know, we touch a little bit, you know, they say thank you. And it's like, it's kind of like a circular, you know, circular love. You pull a couple words out, somebody says thank you, this helped me. It just makes it all worthwhile, right?
Yeah, it really does. Like, for example, I saw that tweet you did on the shadow work. When I saw that, I moved inside a little bit. I knew that would help people. I just knew. So I just started to retweet that. Yeah. Words matter on there. It helps people. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at one of your tweets right now. You typed it earlier, and I actually responded on it, because this one really resonated with me, and I'd actually like to dive into it with you a little bit and pick it apart. And it struck me, and you know, I'm going through a thing right now where I'm doing some reconciliation within myself. So reading this, it really followed a path for me. So I actually responded to it with like a picture of Yoda and said, this is the true picture of inner practitioner in Buddha. Laughing. And I was like, he's going to kill me for posting this up there.
I didn't see that one yet.
No, you know, I snuck it in just under the mirror. It was a couple hours ago. I was like, all right, he hasn't said anything yet. So
green dew on there, a little dew.
Yeah, but you know, it's, and we laugh too, but it's
funny.
You know, and I'll talk to you a minute about another post. It just, but let me dive into this one because you posted it a few hours ago, and you said your soul to soul is based on your heart to heart. Your heart to heart is based on your deep emotional connection with others. Your deep emotional connection with others is based on your deep emotional connection with yourself. You need to feel your feelings and emotions deeply. This is very eloquently and beautifully written. You know, this flow that you get in it, you correct your grammar, it just flows out beautifully. And this, to me, read like a path, you know, a way to peel back layers and understand. Can you kind of pick this apart for me and kind of understand? Here's why I asked this question, mind, as I am, I am, my best says is mind. I'm going to call you mind. I love
okay.
that. Here's why I asked. Like I said, I've only been doing this on in the Twitter sphere for a little while, the spiritual Twitter. But overwhelmingly, the questions I'm being asked is how? How do I do this? How do I do this? So when we pick this apart, you know, let's try to put some mechanics behind explaining it to somebody that can't necessarily grasp yet because of their level of awareness, you know? I mean, your writing transcends layers. I mean, it speaks like I was, you know, and I had made a note that I've reread your things that you've posted, you know, throughout the, you know, it's been at least a couple of years that I've read your stuff, but I go back and read some of it and it resonates different with me a year later than it did a year earlier, you know? So your language is broad enough that it does that. But what are the mechanics? You know, how does this work?
Oh, for that layer thing you're talking about, that's actually Zen. That's the effects of Zen. After a certain amount of inner work, you start accumulating this presence within. An inner space open up. You can delay reactions and trigger reactions. You can actually choose. If you just keep working on that and your inner foundation gets greater and greater, then you get into the Zen feel. And then your writing will have that effect on people. It can be quite dangerous sometimes because you have to be careful because you can also trigger other people's imaginations, their projections, their unhealed wounds. So I'm usually very careful with my words, whatever tweets I put out there.
That's an important consideration. You know, it's there's a responsibility to it, you're saying, right? I mean, some personal
huge. There's sometimes I was going to say, fuck you, but I can't say that. I
on,
feel like
you've never said it once. Come on, you're practicing.
I say in front of my computer, I don't type it in. No,
yeah. Hey, you know what they say, write it on paper, ball it up, and throw it in the garbage. You'll be fine.
I mean, you're a human being. You have emotions. It's, fuck this. But when you actually put that out there, that energy, or your father actually sees that, you're responsible for that.
Yeah, right. And that's really careful.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a responsibility, plain and simple. Do you sense when it comes to, and then I want to dive into kind of a storyline with you relative to your journey. Do you get a sense that this responsibility keeps you away from talking about certain materials that might be a little bit too edgy? And I don't want to get into the obvious ones, you know, the suicide and things that are just so, you know, and obviously anybody suffers from that, you know, call the suicide hotline, all the necessary things. But, you know, there's obvious things, you know, you seem to go too far into the dark and too far into the light. You just kind of keep it in this healthy middle.
Yeah, that's the thing. Moderation, and also have to be very careful what you pick, where you cut your point in. There's also another thing that I cannot talk about certain things that if I talk about it, they'll actually block people's door of realization because that's the thing. They will actually reach naturally if they do inner practice, but you cannot tell them that what it is. If you tell them that, their mind will usually map that, say, oh, that's what that means. And they think they understand, they know. Then you just cut off the whole branch of what it could be. That's a serious thing. So you cannot talk about certain things too. Also, I try not to talk about things that I don't embody or if I don't practice. Well, I'm just starting to practice. I'll talk about it. Sometimes I talk about things I feel like a hypocrite too, because I'm not very good at what I tweeted about, but the tweet came. So responsibility tweeted, so I just do it.
How do you reconcile the difference between the feeling of hypocrisy and just being able to get it out there? It's kind of a, it's like, this is valid. I'm not necessarily efficient at this yet, but I sense it's important for everybody. Is that kind of what's going on?
Yeah, well, for me, when there's a reason why a tweet comes, so I have a responsibility to get it out there. So for that case, even if I'm a hypocrite, or even if I don't agree with the contents of the tweet, since it came, it's my job to put it out there. So I still do the best of my job. As for how I feel like a hypocrite, that's me. That's only me. That's nothing to do with anybody else. So I just feel that feeling and let go and breathe. That's my thing to endure. That's what I see anyway.
Yeah, that's all we have too, right? And I think that when you say that, that's brilliant too, because it's almost as if I want to put a disclaimer at the end of anything I tweet and say, hey, by the way, this is my opinion. This is what works for me, and this is what, in my 4 years of, drudging through all of this inner stuff, and I'm still got, whoever knows how much longer to go. This is
Yeah,
what works for
exactly.
me, and I'm not trying to project this onto you. I'm just saying, hey, give it a try, But, like I said, we know that that lands, anybody knows that anything you say to anybody, it's kind of, there's almost like this binary how it's going to land. They're going to either respond or react or whatever you say, and you never really know until you say it.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. I always trust that whatever that's put out there, the right people will see it, even when they have a negative reaction. It was supposed to happen. And even if they take that negative reaction, they think it's my fault, that's supposed to happen. And that's okay. You do
Right. So
all the way through.
let's talk about that mechanism, because I sort of had a some difficulty. Somebody gave me one of those comments that it was a response to me in a DM, and it was one of your comments where I just wanted to say fuck you and jump through the screen and punch his grandmother's face, right? And obviously I didn't do that. I just reeled it back in and thought, holy crap, why am I so upset by this? And then I realized, okay, well, this is obviously on me. This guy just typed letters on a screen. This is all on me. And then I looked at it and thought, when I really figured, it's like, this is just coming from where that person is on their journey. And try to remember where you were and what you wanted to hear. And that's kind of the trajectory of my messaging, is I kind of try to put myself where they were, because I came a long way. I mean, I was down and came up and down and then back up. So I have enough experience to be able to have some journey experience, I guess, or some maps along the way. I can point a directive light or two. So I want to, something I've always wanted to understand from how you got to where you are now, from where you've been, like the journey, right? And in my podcast, I talk about the journey from awareness to enlightenment one moment at a time. And what I mean by that is just like you, inner practitioner, had your up and down and your trials and tribulations, keeping levels of awareness, losing levels of awareness. And I'm not making your story up. I read a little bit of your story and just in some of that struggle, and I read the whole thing, but I read a little bit more of it today. I read it back when a year or so when you posted it at least one time. Mm-hmm. So I guess in what I really try to do when I ask you a story is try to, you know, just this journey is going to help so many people. How did you go from awareness to enlightenment, and what struggles did you have along the way? What was your journey like?
I'm not enlightened. According to my Buddhism sect definition, I'm far from it. So I'm not enlightened. But I just did a lot of inner work. And I have a very stubborn personality. Whatever my teacher tells me to do, I believe him. I'll just keep doing it. So he'll tell me the simplest thing. Like, for example, he'll tell me to sit there and chop vegetables. So I'll do that 8 hours a day for a couple of weeks. I never ask why. I just do it. I believe him. And then for that example of chopping vegetables, then I realized something was happening. Time was moving faster, so I told him, and he didn't respond. He'd say, mm-hmm. So I went back to chopping vegetables, and eventually by the end of the third week, I told him, time is rolling really fast. Then he just told me, that's because you're thinking less. And then at one point, time changed. I used to think of time as like a river, but then it became like a string of pearls. Each pearl was a moment in now. And when I'm in that state, there was no fear of death or anything. Everything seems so transient. The happiness, nothing, sadness, nothing lasts. There's only this joy from within. And then naturally know that we all have this ability. Just that we have lost it. But this is one example. So he just told me things and he would just tell me methods. Like he would sit me down. I had such an anger problem before. I would just be so angry all the time. There's so many shit that happened. He just sit me down. He just said, just sit here. Watch your anger rise. See? Watch it happen. Now watch it rise. Now watch it disappear. He did it one time with me. That was it. So I practiced that for 5 years. I believe him. So I just kept doing it. I didn't know why, but I just kept practicing. And then one day I realized that I didn't have any thoughts of anger. It was gone. So I didn't know what to do. Then instinctively, I somehow knew, hey, use this on other emotions. So I started to use this method to watch other negative emotions. I just kept doing it. So I did all this inner work. And then there are many awakenings that happens. My awakenings, usually most of them, they're quite violent when it happens. Like for example, 2007, I think it was July or November, I'll go to sleep. And then the next day I wake up, something was different. I didn't know what it was. But then when I start to talk to people, I could see their ego mind right there at the moment. It was the weirdest thing. It was so ugly. I couldn't stand it. And I saw how ugly I was too. We're all ugly from what I saw. Everybody.
I know, man. We are.
I thought we're all pretty for you. Yeah, but then overnight, woke up. I'm like, what the fuck happened?
I know. We're both ugly and pretty at the same time.
Yeah. I had so many flaws. Oh, my God. And I saw people, they had different intentions. They were pretending. They were using different techniques. I saw all that, and I couldn't take it. So I started to point them out because I couldn't handle what I saw. It was too extreme.
Yeah.
So I started losing a lot of friends. And then even my family member, they couldn't stand me. But luckily, my dad told my teacher, so my teacher asked me back. Then he asked me how, he showed me methods to handle that. I was going to make myself blind and myself deaf, so I couldn't see any of this. I'm an extreme person. I do that kind of shit. Very extreme personality. But then it took years of that just to be able to adjust and then learn to be with people again. Those type of things. And then awareness came, spontaneous awareness. And when it came, I didn't know what it was. It's like the whole thing was stopped. Now see things. I didn't understand what I was seeing. It took me a long time to realize when it happens, I lose my sense of self. My eye's gone. It took a long time to realize that. It took an even longer time to realize in spontaneous inside awareness, what drives, there's no mind. You're not thinking. So what drives you? It's your heart, the desire of your heart. For example, I practice this path where I try to reduce harm as much as I can. In order to do that, I have to understand, like, for example, two people interacting. There's my bad habits. There's their bad habits. Those are two. There's a bad habit that I trigger in them. There's a bad habit that trigger in me. So I have to go inside to understand my own and their own to reduce the harm. So I have just so much practice on that. And then when spontaneous aware happens, I'll see like four or five different options or more. The heart naturally chooses the one that's the least harmful. The heart drives awareness, in awareness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then the life energy came, and there's more spontaneous awareness, and then the chakra gets activated, and I will walk around kind of drunk with life energy. Like, I don't know what I was doing. I'll drive, I'll walk around, I'll talk to people, I'll tweet, but I'm like flowing around, you know, like in space. Kind of drunk, like in high, you know. I don't really remember what I tweeted.
I don't remember the last 4 days. I don't remember the last 4 days. I mean, I do, but I don't. I was timeless.
Yeah, it's like that. You're flowing. I could tell from what you said to me on the DM. You're flowing. I knew that.
Crazy.
So I tried to get out of your head. Just let it flow. Oh, resist it.
It's like, okay, now look what your baby do. Start crying like a baby. But it was it. You know, I started to get into my head and I lost track of my heart. And then as soon as I went back in, those emotions just poured out, man. They just flooded. So
and that's okay. You'll flow again. It happens once you do. Once it will happen again. It's beautiful. You just keep flowing, you know? There's no resistance. Whatever happened, happens. You just keep flowing and things come and things happen. And then you start to get tweets and messages. You start to know things you couldn't have known. Yeah.
My wife was questioning me about a tweet I made earlier because I forwarded, you know, I have some of them forwarded to my Facebook account.
Uh-huh.
And she said, and she read it to me, and I didn't remember typing it. I didn't remember typing it. I had to look at it two or three times, and it was like, oh, yeah, I think. Yeah, I'm sure. I did, of course. That's my account. Of course I typed that. I was not 100% sure. You know, it was exactly what it was. It was like it was a perfect imposter game, but I didn't remember it.
Yeah, using your keyboard, your account.
Yeah, maybe I should keep it away from me or something for a while. I don't know what I'm going to be typing next sometimes.
It's so, like that. I don't know what I tweeted today until you read it to me. I said, oh, yeah, I took that. I don't remember a lot of times.
And that kind of, so I did. I touched in on you, but I wanted to make sure you finished with what you were talking about of your journey. If you had anything more to say about, you know, how the awakenings and the and anything, I wasn't sure if you were complete or not.
Oh, that's fine. We're just flowing.
All
yeah,
right, cool. I just
it's all good. All good.
There's the second tweet that I wanted to talk to you about, and it was posted just an hour different. And this touches in something else that I'm seeing a trend on with the, like, the people asking me about things on DM is narcissists will continue to gaslight and manipulate until you feel so guilty and apologize for your negative reactions to their normalized toxicity. I asked this one because I don't know. I swear I've been through enough healing circles the past 2 years. I don't know of anybody really. And I don't throw the word narcissist around like I used to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a pretty serious accusation in my opinion. And it's a pretty serious situation. So I try to use that word loosely when it comes to talking about anybody in that regard. You know, because it's more critical in my and I think with you know, Forbes coming out saying, you know, the top 100 CEOs are, you know, admitted narcissists, it doesn't do justice for the cause of healing, you know, when people are striving towards that. So I'm just careful with that word because it's a bit overused. But but typically I don't know of anybody that hasn't fallen prey to somebody of this type of intent. And you talk about gaslighting, manipulating, and then where they kind of flip the script, make you feel guilty, you apologize. If we want to talk a little bit about that mechanism and from a sense that hey, here's what it is and here's what you look out for, however you want to just flow with that. Because this was big for me because I've gotten caught a couple of times with this for many years, and it took me a long time to get out of them.
Well, my mom is an alpha narcissist, so I learned a lot about narcissism from her firsthand. But I was always on the receiving end. And she actually used my desire to get her validation and approval as a way to control me. And she'll never give me any validations. So that was the way she did. So that was really painful for me. And it took me many years to practice not to get any validation from her. And after that, I took my 10,000 tries to be able to succeed. It was so hard. I remember the first 1,000 times I failed, I think. And then one time I had one success. Then I said to myself, if I can do it, no problem. I'll see the need of me wanting to get her validation rise from inside me. I'll just do whatever I can to avoid that. Whatever I can, I will like pinch myself. I'll hold my fist really tight to get out of that mindset. I did all kinds of things just to stop that. And once I had a little more control of myself, then I started to study her. I realized that I don't remember the last time she apologized for anything that she did wrong. That was the first sign. She always has an excuse. Yeah, she always has an excuse. I love her, don't get me wrong. This personality disorder, it's really terrible. And then I realized that she sees me as an extension of her ego. That one took a while to realize. So she sees me how I make her look, basically. That's where she sees me. She doesn't see me as an individual person. And also, if there's something wrong, when I go talk to her about it, you I always end up feeling guilty about it. I couldn't understand that for the longest time. It took a long time to realize what she was doing. But right now I pretty much know what she does before she does it. I've mapped out pretty much all her ego mind techniques, so I understand. So I know exactly what to do. I won't get hurt by her. I can love her the way she is. But yet, using what I learned, what I saw there, I saw a lot of people there actually narcissists. A lot of them there are covert. Yeah. I think there are a lot of them around. That's why a lot of people, they get hurt by them. Yeah. There's also the wounded narcissists. They're the interesting kind. They cycle through different stages. So they may have a stage where they're like a little baby. There's not a stage where the narcissism comes out to gaslight, to manipulate, to guilt trip you. And there are other stages, they just withdraw. So it's very confusing. They go through cycles too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're talking.
Yeah, there's all kinds.
Yeah, you're talking a lot about, and you and I see. You know, we use the word patterns of behavior, and you use the word mapping, and you talk about watching her and studying her. Mm-hmm. I was literally asked today about, you know, doing shadow work and healing the DNA of the family. And somebody said, yeah, but my mom, man, she's not going to let me in. He said, how do I get in? And this is perfect because this is how I escape the narcissist as well. You say it so much more eloquently than I could have. And you said you basically mapped out a plan. You realize what was going on to at least some degree at one point. You decided to start, whether it be journaling or whatever it is that you do to keep track of the behaviors, to looking at the patterns. And then what absolutely blew my mind was what you're talking about is your discipline. In your practitioner, you said that you tried it 10,000 times. This is over years, right? I mean, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that because that's what it took for me to untangle from a mess that I was in, to like deprogram from it. I didn't know it in my head as eloquently as you spell it out enough to have followed that path so neatly, so to speak. Because if I could do it over again, I think I would get through it a little bit more smoothly.
Oh man!
Go that way, no kicking the butt. Go that way. You're not doing it right. Oh man! I can't choose the right way anymore. But I want to say that it put me, you know, dealing with a narcissist, it like rewired me, you know, this manipulation and this gaslighting. It's such tiny nudging. It's the, I mean, I don't know how many times I thought, I must be going crazy. I know she told me it was this way. Now she's telling me it's not.
Yep.
Or now he's telling me it's one way. And I know he told me yesterday it was this way. And they look you right in the face and say, no, I don't know. What, are you paranoid?
You're wrong. Your memories, there's something wrong with the way you remember it.
I've had occasions where there were three or four people that saw the same damn thing. And he'll both, you know, I've had both males and females. They'll both look at you and just literally lie. And I'm an empath, so I can actually read emotion. And one of your tweets recently kind of really hit home to me, because some of the good narcissists, they can actually mask their frequencies. And I, you know, the post that you said that, and I had only thought that because I'm like, I get mixed signals from this guy, and I'm a freaking empath, and that doesn't happen very often. It's like they know how to obscure them. So, but yeah. So when it comes to the unwinding of this, right, I'm hearing, it's my mom. What am I supposed to do? It's my mom. Or what am I supposed to do? It's my dad. And I struggle from that in my own family and questions I'm getting. I don't want to separate from my parents. I don't want to separate from my mom or dad. I still want to have a relationship with them. And what I'm hearing from you, it's going to take discipline, for one, because you're talking about 10,000 plus reps of trial and error to find your way through. You have to map out, journal, and this is in essence what I did is I just started, I call them patterns, and I'll something, I will talk to them and I'll say, here's something that I feel I need. And then I'll get an initial pushback and I'll remember what the pushback was. And then I'll push back a second time. And okay. And then I'll get a second response, which is usually a little bit more aggressive. And then I kind of remember that one. And then I'm like, I'm feeling brave today. So I'll actually push back a third time. And that's when the attack gets vicious. And it's like, bah, bah, bah. Or, you know, it gets embarrassing. You're going to make a scene because they know you're going to be the one cowering because you don't want to make a scene. And they don't give a shit about making a scene.
That's right.
So how does one, how does one keep their shit straight? I was going to do this gyroscope, keep there in a gyroscope, but let's be frank here, man. If I'm out to dinner with the family and mom, dad, Uncle Joe, whoever it is, starts their stuff and you know your turn's coming, how do you keep it straight? You know, how do you deal with that day in and day out when you have to deal with this?
Well, that's very difficult in the beginning, to be honest with you. But later on, it gets easier once you see exactly where they're going next. Imagine this. You see somebody, you know where they're going to go next, where, however they turn. It will bother you a lot less once you know, because you already have ways of handling that when they go there. Like, for example, my mom would say things like, oh, that's your fault because you didn't tell me.
Logical.
It's never her fault, right? So, it's never her fault. This was my fault. Yeah.
I didn't mean to tell Mother Nature to make it cool outside either. Sorry.
Yeah. So what I do, I play with her. I say, yeah, Mom, it's my fault. Yeah, I didn't tell you about this. I didn't tell you about that. You know, yeah. I play with her, you know. And she laughs, I laugh, and that's okay.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Because I do that. And what is the impact of what you just said when you play with her, as you call it? What is the impact of that?
Yeah, I joke around with her because at the time, her ego mind's checking me to see my reactions at that moment. So she's focused on reactions. So she is my mom. I still respect her and love her. So what I did, I just neutralized that situation with a joke.
Thank you. So
I don't have any negative reactions back to her. And then we continue the next. She forgets. She move on to the next thing.
And
she only reacts when I point something out, or somebody points something out to her. She reacts. It sounds like I don't point anything out. She's fine. If she's in a bad mood, I stay away. I'll keep a distance. I know she's going to act out because I know what she's going to do. She's going to find a scapegoat.
Mm.
Yeah. So sometimes you're near, sometimes you're far, sometimes you boundary up, sometimes you joke around. You got to have very, very different methods to deal with that. Yeah. It's not easy. You have to map it all out. Yeah. If you're staying with them or something.
Yeah, because that's what I'm hearing is I don't have anywhere to go right now, and I need something to survive with today, you know. And you know what you're saying is everything that has to be done. I fully agree, and that's for ultimate long-term survival. What are and this is excellent. I mean, this is really the plan. To live under such oppression or whatever tool they're using in their tool book their tool chest to hold you down.
They have certain amount of methods. Those methods will repeat.
Yeah. Oh, talk about
Once
the
you
repeating.
recognize older methods, you will repeat, start to repeat. Then that's when you see the so-called patterns. But for people coming to a DM asking me the same similar questions, I usually tell them, minimize your interaction. Start loving yourself. Do self-love affirmation. And buy some selenite crystals and black tourmaline to cleanse and wear that with you. Yeah, wear the black tourmaline on your left or the sun on your right. They'll cleanse your body because they do have negative energy. There's a whole bunch of projections from them. You cleanse yourself. And you want to have a base of operation. For example, your room. That's your safe space. So close your door if you can. Buy a whole bunch of crystals and put it in there as a protection so you can come back to your room to relax. And outside, it's a war zone. You got to have that kind of thinking. In the meantime, keep practicing, better your boundaries and try to understand what they're doing. And you never, never, never want to fall in the trap where you expect them to change. Don't. That's going to hurt like hell.
Right.
Just accept them this they are. They're not going to change. Probably not. Yeah. And don't think they will ever stop too.
No, they won't. No.
They will not. They will not.
I fell in all those traps. And I want to ask your opinion on something because you talk about these cycles. You talk about these cycles, and what I find is to keep it's just like lies. It's hard to manage too many of anything, and I find that the cycles, even though they seem plentiful, really at the bottom, there's only a half a dozen core cycles. They just color them up in a whole bunch of different flavors depending on the situation. So after you do this mapping that you talk about, and you get to these core programs that they utilize, which are pretty clinical at the end of it all, you know, the devaluation cycles and all. I want to say I don't recognize this at home. I don't recommend you try this at home, children. I tried really what you said that you should never try to do, and that's to fix one. Not in the sense that I thought it was.
Oh my God.
Not in the sense that I ever thought I was going to make a difference. But it's kind of like you got 10,000 tries, buddy. I was gonna go for the home run. So, and I was being a little bit like, fuck it. If it doesn't work, I'm at least gonna get a pop in the chin here without actually physically hurting this person. I'm gonna go for this because it's gonna be a reward I've tried. You know, which I don't like to
admit.
So I mapped out the problem to him, or I'm sorry, and I said,
"Oh my God!"
I was literally over dinner, and he had done the pattern, and I said, "I'd like to have a discussion with you," and I actually had it written down, and I said, here's what I perceived just happened, and I said, "The first thing you did is you took what I said, then you." Slightly parallel what I said, then you slightly devalue what I said, and then you basically tromped on what I said and made me feel bad for saying it. And I mapped that pattern out to him, and he looked at me and he just froze there for a minute, and not in some kind of like stunned fashion, you know, just like giving it ample thought, like I know he would, because that's typically what he does. And then it's just total obfuscation. That's not what happened. I don't know what your Jesus is.
Denial.
Total whitewash. But listen, there was a pause. There was a pause enough where he thought, oh, fuck. He's got this shit. And I'm nailed. And I knew it. I saw it in his face. And being an empath, I could feel it.
Yeah.
And he didn't move. But he didn't flinch either. And that's what scared the shit out of me more than anything. Because I've been popped in the jaw, and I flinch. You know what I mean? It hurts a little. But it makes me
nervous. He made a choice. He made a choice in that moment. He knew you knew. So he decided to go on. He chose his personality disorder. He could open up his heart, but he chose his personality disorder at a moment. Yeah, you see this kind of things.
You know,
yeah.
and
The choice.
I had every inclination that that exact thing happened. So all of the yummy things that I, for the reasons I wanted to say to begin with, because I just wanted to say it and say, I know you're fucking full of shit, finally, once and for all, because I just needed him to know it, that somebody knows and somebody's saying it here, and I know. So don't ever do it to me again, you know, because I'm looking. But it didn't help. Why? Because that pattern just disappeared, and it just resurfaces two or three other new patterns that were disguised differently. And I was like, oh, crap, be careful what you wish for. Once I knew the pattern and mapped it out, and I guess after saying this, I kind of realized why I was even bringing it up without knowing, is be careful tipping your hands when you're mapping these patterns, or you journal writers, don't leave these books under your desk, because they will just remap what they're doing around what they know that you understand about them. They are that clever. They are that clever.
Yeah, they are. And their reaction's really fast too. But then when you reach a point where you start to get spontaneous awareness, you see exactly what they're doing. And they become kind of like child,
ooh,
like children.
That.
Yeah, they do, because you see exactly where they twist and turn. Yeah, it's like one of my coworkers, she would come to me. It took me many years to figure out and realize what he was doing. Basically, he had an inferior complex, and his coping mechanism was superiority complex. That was his coping mechanism on top. So he would come over to set up things like, well, I think there's, for this case, there's A, B, and C. I'm looking at A here. That's it. That's think about it. Say, oh, yeah, A looks good. Then he'll switch around and say, but B's better. And he gave me a whole bunch of prepared statements. It didn't matter which one I chose. He just wanted to show that he was more superior. That was his whole point. That was his pattern. It was always that. And when he cannot win, his body language would change. He'll make his shoulder, he'll raise his shoulder to try to make him look, so look bigger. His arm will extend. And he'll walk a little closer, try to create a threat. Yeah. This is all unconscious, by the way. He doesn't realize he's doing this. He's like an animal in the wild trying to make themselves look bigger, more threatening. So he could actually feel more superior. But he didn't know he was being driven by these type of things. But it took me a while to figure out. Well, once I get the pattern, I just see him repeating over and over again. Yeah. But then once you see the pattern, you know what they're going to do next. When they're about to exhibit a pattern, you stay away, or you say certain things, circumvent. Yeah, the point is that I think that if I want to try to find somebody that's not wounded in some way, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Everybody carries something.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said
all
that.
Of us do. All of us do. Everybody. We're all trying to heal, or we're not healing. We have personality disorder. We have little quirks. We're weird in certain parts. So it's unrealistic for me to say, I only want to talk to people who are healed. I'm not going to find anybody. I'm not healed myself. So I can understand them and try to interact with them better. When they're about to act up, I'll either leave, I'll make an excuse to go. I have to go to the bathroom or something. No one can stop you from going to the bathroom. You can always say that. Or you got something else to do, or you redirect the conversation to elsewhere. Yeah, you find ways to interact with people in a least harmful way, not to trigger them. So I don't blame them for their triggers or their personality disorder. I don't blame them for that. I feel sad they're trapped by their personality disorder, but I don't want to get hurt by them. So I found ways that to protect myself and not to activate their patterns. If their patterns are not activated, we can talk really good, no problem. Yeah. My mom, the same. You know, when she's not activated, I just talk to her. We have a good time. We talk about the weather, talk about the virus, whatever. It's good. Yeah. So I just look at myself as a victim, but not anymore. because all of us were flawed, you know. I'm trying to heal too, so yeah, it's okay. So in that sense, there's no better or worse the way I look at it. Everyone's on a different journey. Yeah, like I cannot feel parts of myself. So sometimes it's very difficult for me to cry. And I learned a lot from I'm My Best. She taught me so much because she's an EQ coach. She's so compassionate. Her heart's so big. She's so aware and smart. She taught me things like, she taught me things like I have to separate my emotion from other people's. So I started trying to go toward the direction to learn. How do you do that? Why am I affected by certain people? Oh, because I own their emotion. Why? What happened? It's become a new case. I tried to understand, to learn. Yeah. Why was I so upset about what that person said? I don't know this guy on there. Oh, because I was upset he made me look bad in front of all my followers. Oh, it's my ego. It's my image. It's not about him. It's about me. That's my problem. And I think that he's responsible for me getting pissed off. That's me not wanting to own my own negative emotions. Oh, shit, that's me again. I got a lot of work to do, man. Just keep working, you know? Always come back to myself. Just keep working and working and working. You get better if you do 1,000 times. You're going to get better at it. There's no trick. You just keep doing it. And you keep doing it. Oh, that person project onto me. What can I do? Oh, I can challenge him. I can point it out. I can ignore him. I can ask him if he needs help. Why is he projecting onto me? There's various things I can try. So I'm learning all these things. Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. I can tell him to fuck off. There's no wrong or right, but you figure out the ways that which works for you for the situation. It's all about learning anyway.
Just like lit up my heart. And I want to ask you about it. You rolled a few sentences through, and I just let you just go, because what I heard was a boy that was raised with a narcissist mother has found a way to be able to set things aside through understanding, awareness, and allowance for her to be who she is, a way that you've been able to spend a couple of years mapping out some processes so you can defuse all your triggers from her. And then on top of that, and this is the part that still is just getting my heart, you're able to hold conversation with her. And what you said is, you guys have good times, you joke, you just avoid all the things that you don't, but you have this relationship in this, although it is in a little smaller or more confined container, it's beautiful, it sounds like.
Yeah, it is. It's actually funny sometimes. I'll say, oh, mom, my tooth hurts. And you, knowing her, she's going to turn the conversation back to her. She said, you know, my back has been hurting for 3 days. It's always about her. It goes back to her. I said, oh, really? Oh, maybe she goes to see a doctor. I just let it go. It's kind of fun. Conversation always goes back to her.
Oops, you know? I forgot. I shouldn't have worded it that way. See, but then it's kind of, and you giggle about it now, and I love that because...
It's funny, you know, you see that, it's like a kid, you know, me. She always does that. It's kind of fun when you see that. I don't have to talk about myself. It's fine. You know, she wants to leave the conversation. Okay, fine. That's right. You know,
the allowance with the allowance, it seems, has come a lot of forgiveness, and not only on her part, but your part, because we have our granddaughter living with us in the house, and it's, you talked about looking at her like a child. It's like, when you were explaining her behavior, I'm like, wow, that sounds like my little girl. And then she's just like a child. And I kind of laughed inside. Yeah, that's exactly. And then it's just that. I'm not going to let my 5-year-old granddaughter drive me crazy. So I learn ways to deal with the situation. It's not different, is it?
Exactly.
Right.
You won't get mad at a little kid, right? She's a little kid. She's a grandkid.
Yeah.
You know, she's 5 years old, you know. Yeah, you let it go, then you find ways
well,
to talk to her.
I
it's
guess
fun.
There's a
you
little
enjoy
bit of
the
hope
moment.
that behavior will change. I guess there's not as much hope on the other side, but at least it's a self-contained container and you can find some way to survive.
Yeah, you do anything
Yeah.
you can do to survive. You don't want to suppress yourself too. And it's a serious thing, by the way. For example, there's a lot of things I never tweeted about narcissists. These things can go in books. You can write thick volumes of books. Like, for example, my mom's a narcissist, so it's my dad's a weaker one
Oh, so beta.
because she wants to find someone she can control. And because of that,
Interesting.
my brother and I, we grew up on that environment, so unconsciously we're confused. Should we learn from dad or learn from mom? I mean, who's the head of a household here? I'm getting confused. And my sister's like my mom. And her husband's like my dad. So it goes on and on. And my sister's daughter is like my sister. And not only that, for my brother and I notice if there's a tendency when you're confused in that kind of environment, when you grow up, what happens is that when there are conflicts outside, and if you happen to have confusion inside that hits, your mind goes blank. You don't know what to do. Yeah, it happens like that. These are consequences of being born in that kind of family. It took many years to realize this and to overcome them. But my brother, he doesn't do this type of thing, so he still tries to get my mom's validation, and my mom won't give him. I see the old game all over again. And then sometimes my brother sees me talking to my mom. He gets jealous unconsciously, and he'll put me down so he could talk to my mom. I finally told him, you know, this gets too old. I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah. But he doesn't know these things. I see my sister does the same thing. She tries to get validation from my mom. My mom knows
Right.
she doesn't give it on purpose. She's going to have control over them. Yeah. There's a lot of damage to the person, a kid's psychic and development that way. They get retarded. Yeah. It's going to take a lot of healing. I still have parts of me that's shut down, disconnected. That's why it's a lot of times I cannot cry to release. So I'm just trying to do the most basic thing. I lay in bed. I think about childhood events. I relax my body. I breathe. And I replay these scenes. I try to feel whatever feeling that comes up. Sometimes I feel something, sometimes I don't. Just reconnect with myself again. Yeah. And there are a lot of damage living with people with disorders. There are consequences. But then if you come back again, you cannot really blame them because I know I chose to be born in this family. I chose this. So I do whatever I can. Yeah. Yeah, complaining about it ain't going to change anything. We're dealt with the cards that
Yeah,
we have.
complaining about it,
It's
what
whatever
is
we
that,
can
right?
do,
That's kind
you
of the
know?
definition
Yeah.
of suffering, in my opinion. It's what you have. Complaining about it, it's only going to compile it.
Yeah.
It's not going to help. And I want to say, I know it's
Yeah.
approaching up on an hour here. I want to be really, really good with your time because you've been really generous. I want to say that this has kind of really come full circle in our practitioner because we talked about your journey. We entered into some tweets and we talked about circles back to healing. We did some giggling. We did some giggling. But really, we unwound some
Yeah.
patterns and we showed some people. I'm so glad that we were able to touch on some of these tools that they could carry away.
Yeah.
So I really want to thank you for talking with me because you've been a big part of my
You're
healing in the
welcome,
last
Michael.
couple of years, and I really appreciate you, my friend, and I'm sure many others do as well.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me know about this, Michael. Yeah, that makes me feel that I I didn't just live for nothing. I did something. I made a small difference. You know, I appreciate that a lot, really.
All right. Well, yeah. You have a good night in there. Thank you for your time. Okay.
Thank you so much, Michael. Have a good one. I'll see you on Twitter.
See you soon.
I'm going to talk to you later.
Talk to you a little further. See you later.
Man.
Bye.